Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 76 of our Year of the Bible adventure, and on day whatever it is of our reading through the book of Judges. Now, I said A, that Judges was R-rated, and B, that it's not very uplifting, that it's grim and kind of sad. And I don't get to say this very often, but I was right. It is. And today's, the stuff we were reading today about this guy named Jephthah, the infamous Jephthah, is one example of it. We've had this series of judges. And they started out okay. You know, Othniel had a good kind of thing. Barak wasn't great, but there was Deborah with him. Ehud killed that fat king pretty well. You know, just stories that make you feel good, unless you are a fat king, for example, which you might not. But with Jephthah, you know, the Gideon that we did with, again, had some great things, you know, mighty men of valor, but there is some ambiguity there. Jephthah, there's also ambiguity, but the virtue is the exception, not the rule. Where does it start? Right. So Jephthah started, the reading about Jephthah started yesterday, and I said I would take care of it today. And Jephthah Well, so the Israelites were crying out, and they had adopted all these foreign gods, and God said, "Hey, go get them to help you. Don't get me, you know. Don't ask me to help you anymore." And they threw away the foreign gods, and they cried out. They cried out to God again, and then there's this great line in verse 16 of chapter 10. And he, talking about God, and he could bear Israel's misery no longer, which is an ambiguous statement. Could bear it no longer, like he had a soft spot in his heart for them? Yes, perhaps. He certainly does have a soft spot in his heart for Israel. But also, like, he's just sick and tired of their belly aching and everything. Maybe a little bit of that too. But nonetheless, Jephthah gets involved with freeing Israel. Now, Jephthah was a bad off guy. He doesn't start out with a heroic role. His father was of Gilead, and his mother was a prostitute. And the way that played out in the family dynamic was that when his brothers drove him out, and he said, "Hey, you're not going to get any inheritance. You're not going to be part of this family because you're not really part of the family. Your mama's so bad that it's one of the Bible's first mama jokes." They said, "Get out of here," and they drove him away, and he went to a place called Tov. He had to flee, where he got a gang of scoundrels gathered around him. Now remember, Gideon had some. Was it Gideon? No. It was Abimelech had some scoundrels with him too. And again, like, it's just getting worse and worse. So he has some scoundrels with him. They're up to no good. Sometime later, the Ammonites, not the Amorites, but the Ammonites are fighting against Israel, and they go to Jephthah. And they ask him to come help. It's like you go find, like, remember that guy? Like, he's up there robbing and hurting, right? Like he was a brute. That guy was a brute. Let's go get him. And so they do. But note what doesn't happen here. What doesn't happen here is it says, and God raised up Jephthah to be their deliverer, right? The people went and found Jephthah and brought him here. And what's immediately clear is that Jephthah recognizes this as an opportunity for himself. Jephthah does not say, oh, because God is calling, you know, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't say any of that. He is like, oh, so it's going to be like that. Now you're going to come find. Sorry, I had to sneeze. Oh, you're going to come get Jephthah now. Jephthah, you had no time for Jephthah before. Is that right? But now, oh, look who comes running with the tail between their legs. And they're like, yeah, whatever. Just like come down. And so he does. So Jephthah's piety, such as it is more piety for his own sort of accomplishments and his own power. And that's exactly what we see. The first thing that he does, though, is kind of interesting. He engages in diplomacy with the Ammonites, and he makes this kind of like fascinating argument and I just pointed out because he basically quotes from the book of Numbers, and he says, "Look, we didn't take your land away. The Moabites." The Amorites took your land away, and we took it away from the Amorites. If you've got a beef, you've got a beef with them, not with us. We didn't do anything. And then he makes fun of them and says, "Well, how about your god Chemosh? Isn't he going to fight for you?" Which is rude. But I want to point it out only because something that recurs over and over again in the Old Testament, when the Israelites beseech God to help them, one of the things that they say is, and we heard Moses do it, "Moses, if you don't rescue us, people are going to make fun of you. People are going to say, oh, he's actually, God, the God of Israel is not actually that great." They think, you know, Israel says, basically, people are going to do to us what here Jephthah is doing to the Ammonites, and their God Chemosh. So that's a thing that happened. You made fun of the other cities, gods, made fun of the other places' gods. And then it says in verse 29, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah." At that point, it came on Jephthah, not before. They had already like gotten him down there, and he's already started thinking, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah." Now, the only thing that's remarkable about that is, you know, nowadays we do a baptism, and the Spirit of the Lord comes down on whoever is being baptized. Talk about the spirits being poured out upon all flesh. That's something he talks about in Acts. That's what happens in Pentecost. The Spirit of the Lord comes out on everybody. That is not the case in the Old Testament. It only gets used a couple times. That phrasing only gets used a couple times. And it does come down on Jephthah at this point. And he makes this vow to the Lord. And this is the great tragedy of Jephthah, of the Jephthah story. If you let me beat the Ammonites, then whatever comes out of my door, the door of my house, when I come back, I will sacrifice as a burnt offering to the Lord. Now, clearly this kind of stuff is the stuff that the writer is more interested in, because they do go to war, and the war itself, this is not Gideon, this is not Abimelech, the war itself gets like one line, two verses. He went and fought the Ammonites. He won. He got all these towns, and they defeated the Ammonites. Yeah, super. And that's, you know, and like that's the whole battle scene right there. But what he goes on with is what the book goes on with is about when he comes back from battle, and he comes up to his house, and his daughter comes out. She was his only child. Except for her, he had neither son nor daughter. And he says, "Oh no, I promised to the Lord, you know, that I would sacrifice whatever came out of my door." And the daughter says, "Well, you've done it. You've made that vow. You have to keep it. You've made that vow. You have to keep it. Let me have 2 months to go roam the hills and weep with my friends, because I'm never going to get married or have children or anything like that." And that's what he does. Now, it is not clear. Now, so That's an awful story. And Jephthah is remembered for doing that in all the scriptures throughout the Old Testament. In the rabbinic literature and everything, Jephthah is horrible. And everybody knows that Jephthah is horrible, and that's how it is. No one in the tradition, to my knowledge, has ever said, he had to do what he had to do. On the contrary, they say, everyone says, rightfully, screw him, because here's why. One, you are not bound, you cannot be bound to an oath to God that is against God's law, right? Against God's rule, and the strictures against human sacrifice, in particular, that was one of the big things that separated the Israelites from the pagans. All over the place, it talks about, you know, why are these Canaanites so horrible? Look, we know they're horrible. You can go and see where they're doing all this child sacrifice. That was a big thing they did, and over again, you get these admonitions to the Israelites: you will not do, you will not sacrifice to Moloch the way that the pagans around you do. And Jephthah basically did that. He offered his daughter as a sacrifice, a burnt sacrifice in Thanksgiving. But like you can't do that. That's not a thing. Second of all, the way you quote unquote get out of it, there was a process in Leviticus that we've already read about in Leviticus, where if you make a rash vow, now you do have to quote unquote keep your rash vow, but there's substitutions that you can make. Don't you remember? One of our friends, you know who you are, complained about it. Why is a female worth less than a male if you have to redeem them? And we talked about that. But here's an example of it. So we know that's that's a possibility. You can go to the priest, you know, give him 7 shekels or whatever, and then quote unquote redeem the sacrifice that you had made under oath. So he could have done that. He did not. He didn't. Jephthah is no good. And this is the judge. Right. This is the guy who's up to deliver Israel. And when it goes on in chapter 12, and they get in that sort of civil war with the Ephraimites and all that kind of stuff, you just go from, like, it's just grim. It's just grim and unpleasant. I mean, even the things that could be good, like the battle, right? Is very much less important than the kind of ways that this guy Japheth behaves. The Ephraimites came and, you know, complained that they shouldn't have complained, maybe, you know, whatever. But he goes and he kills 42,000 of them. He goes and kills 42,000 Ephraimites. Hold on. Like, no. Like that's not what this is supposed to be like. Jephthah led Israel 6 years. This is verse 7 of chapter 12. This is what's interesting. Listen to this. Jephthah led Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah the Gileadite died and was buried in a town in Gilead. Jephthah had been driven away from Gilead when he was younger, probably after his father died. And finally, here at the very end, he gets what he wanted, right? Like he gets his heart's desire, which was to be, you know, brought back into the family, to be a Gileadite again. And at what cost, you know, and at what cost? But it's interesting to see, like, there's a certain, like, full circle that's happened there. Not a good full circle, right? Better to die in Tov without having done all this nastiness than to do this. But again, it just gives you this sense of like everything's falling apart. Everything's fallen apart. Finishing out that chapter of 12, it gives you three more what they call minor judges. At the beginning, they gave you one minor judge, and then we got two minor judges, and then we get three, Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon. We get them, and it's just getting worse and worse, because at verse 15, Abdon, the last one, was buried at Pirathon in Ephraim, comma, in the hill country of the Amalekites. Hold on. In the hill country of the Amalekites? Why are there still Amalekites around? What do you mean in the hill country of the Amalekites? It should be of the Ephraimites or something, or one of the tribes anyway, but it's not, right? Now the Israelites again are living in someone else, in land that's being ruled by someone else. It shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. And this is the situation that Israel finds itself in. Like I said, there's some other things to say about it too, but I'll skip it for now. I'm not doing verse 13 only because it starts the Samson story, and I'll go over the Samson stuff. And also, I've been going on for a long time, and also I need more coffee. So I won't go into that now. But just to say, like, again, like, downward and downward and downward. One of the ways that I look at this Japheth story, you know, it seems like there's like two different takes on the same thing, that are both true. One, God can use anyone to do anything that he wants. He can even use Japheth to protect the Israelites. You know, if that's what he wants to do, that's what he can do. On the other hand, at this point in Judges wants to make it clear, but Japheth is going to stay Japheth. You know, he doesn't, people can change for sure, but they don't have to. And Japheth does not. He's the same Japheth. And we can say, yeah, hey, he got a, you know, in a more therapeutic age, we're more likely to say, rightfully, well, you can look at, he got expelled from his family and all this kind of stuff. It's all true. But this, it's almost like this, at this point in history, this is the best that Israel can do, is go and seek out a guy like this. And because of something that they had done wrong, right, by, you know, expelling him, they have to go get him and all this kind of badness. Anyway, downward spiral, not real good. It gets worse. And then we'll start with Samson Agonistes, who is a complicated and ambiguous figure himself. And that we will deal with tomorrow. All right, let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures, including Judges, to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Have a great rest of your day. Talk to you again tomorrow.